Blog Talk Radio.
And cue the music.
Okay.
Okay, let's fade it out. Are we fading? Here we go.
We fade.
Welcome. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. To this edition of whatever we're going to call it. What do we call it?
UFOs, Demons, and Hell.
Ah! I am Madman 2012, along with your co-host, the only man to ever match wits with Elvis and Bigfoot aboard the UFO and live to tell about it, Lex Hotep, Nazi killer.
That's the Nazi UFO commander, sir.
Yes, in your Nazi UFO
in
commander.
Your house.
Coming straight from Valhalla. Yeah. From Valhalla, California. Aboard
That's
his
right.
Via Mana. Yes. Aboard his Via Mana, the new Toyota Via Mana.
Mitsubishi.
So, by Mitsubishi, my bad. So we've got a show about demon hell and UFOs and aliens, huh?
Yep.
Where do we start with that one, Lex Hotep?
Well, I would say by the amount of paranormal activity that usually accompanies UFOs, like in the Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you've seen them screws undoing, unscrewing themselves. And like
strange magnetic anomalies, even stranger stranger EVPs and things that do accompany both, things that they both have in common.
Yeah.
And they do have a lot in common, actually. Especially when it comes to demonic behavior, you have a lot of commonalities when it comes to descriptions of what happened. People being abducted, people being experimented on. It also goes hand in hand with the demonic realm as well. What we used to call demons, I think we call aliens now, perhaps even.
Yeah, or maybe even a succubus, because the way they take sperm
right. Well, yeah, that's what I was referring to, the sexual experimentation, if you will.
Yeah, the hybridization.
Mutilations accompany both accounts
definitely.
As well.
Definitely.
Orbs.
For sure.
Orbs account. Yeah, orbs. Strange orb lighting, lights. The little, even the creatures, the reptilian type creatures that are described in a lot of cases are attributed to demonic and UFO.
Yeah. Also, human sacrifice. Don't forget that.
Human sacrifice. Yeah. Human sacrifice. That's a big thing. Blood sacrifice. What's that all about?
It's like the gods needed the blood to appease them, their appetites.
their appetites. Exactly. You know, in Zulu mythology, the reptilians, they talk about a reptilian race. And they look like reptiles, except the young. The young look more like the little grays. I know a lot of people would just say that those might be biological robots as well, but they call them their young. And they talk about these reptilians using blood to bathe in. Now they're mortal. They're not immortal, but they do have extremely long lifespans apparently. And it's said that they would actually use the blood and bathe in it and ingest it in order to live longer. Along with gold as well.
If you look at their skin, it's like a tick. You know, all gray and stuff like that, but they absorb supposedly the blood through their skin.
That's why they smell so bad. And that's another thing that accompanies both the demonic realm and the UFO sightings, is that stench, that smell of what can only be described as rotten eggs, maybe, sulfur.
Sulfur.
Yeah, I've heard it goes, you know, with both descriptions. So it would appear to me that maybe what we would call demonic infestation, it's shadow people. There's another commonality they have. Shadow people and strange, weird things going on within the creatures carrying on, strangely as far as being able to, like, walk through walls and, they're not bound by barriers.
And also, have you seen those UFOs that change shapes?
Yeah, they do change shapes. See, in my opinion, Alex, and this is just my opinion, but it would seem to me, all right, this is kind of getting off the subject, but no, it's not, because we're talking about UFOs too. Anything that has flashing lights on it or is triangular in shape or wing-shaped is probably us. Because what are flashing lights on vehicles used for, especially when it comes to aerial vehicles? To warn other approaching craft that, hey, we're here. Hopefully that they can see us. Among other reasons, but that is one of the biggest ones. UFOs do not need our other alien craft from maybe another dimension or another planet. You know, look, a craft that's traveled thousands of light years to come visit us, it just strikes me as funny it's going to need blinking lights, or it's even going to be geometrically shaped in a fashion or way that we're used to. Now, I have seen weird lights in UFOs, okay? I've never been on board one. I've never had a close encounter of a third kind, but I've seen some strange things. And the triangular stuff seems to be what I would say is us, because it is distinctly triangular, and they have lights flashing on it. Now, the UFOs that I've seen are like orbs. They're almost like plasma. They can be large or small, and they can change shape.
Right.
They can morph. They can become almost at will any shape they desire. And just because something disappears before your eyes, that could be stealth technology. That could be some way of reflecting light back at it and becoming invisible, as opposed to taking off at the speed of light or, zapping in and out of dimensions.
Yeah. Have you seen those serpent shaped UFOs that are like moving around like worms and stuff?
Yes, I have. I've seen pictures of them. I've not seen them live, but I've seen them on the internet. They are definitely serpentine in nature, and they do move around. See, that's definitely what I See, I have to believe that all UFO activity is demonic. I don't believe that any of it is. I don't think that there are alien life forms out there traveling thousands of light years to come visit our planet. I just don't think they are. I think it's all interdimensional and demonic in nature, Nephilim, if you will.
Right.
Some of them are spiritual. Some of them certainly are spiritual, but some of them are very physical, because we have counts in mythology, Bible, Nag Hammadi, the Torah, the Mahabharata, the list goes on and on and on, of the actual physicality of these individuals. That some took on actual physical form, and that they actually made it through the flood or the destruction of their kind. Which is why I think the flood was,
right.
You know, Noah being found perfect in his generations was chosen, basically means that he was probably the only humans, pure humans, left behind at this point in time. Most of it was Nephilim, you know, inbreeding.
And it was only Noah that was found pure in his generations. The rest of his family,
yeah,
there were eight of them on the boat. The rest of his family had the Nephilim blood in.
Had the Nephilim. Enoch, even Enoch had Nephilim blood in because he was the emissary between them and God. Even though he was a kind of a good guy, I guess, apparently he was had Nephilim blood. He was not pure in his generations. And you're talking maybe a thousand or two or three thousands of years of breeding and breeding, you know. So by the time it gets to this point of the flood, you know, thousands of years have passed from that point to the point of creation, to the point that they started messing with the fallen angels, started messing with humanity, and not just humanity, but all animals, all forms of life on Earth.
That's right.
You see, I mean, it wasn't just humans. It wasn't just the daughters of man. It was also all the animals and the Nephilim. You know, we get into, and then we see the flood. Okay, Noah being saved because he's the perfect generation was probably the last of the humans. Now there are some scripture or some of the Jewish texts, Kabbalah texts that say that Noah was a giant redheaded guy, which would make you think maybe he was Nephilim. But I'm going to go with the Old Testament version right now and say that he was perfect in his generations and was human, and him and his family. So God didn't necessarily destroy humanity. He saved humanity.
Right.
And in order to preserve the bloodline of the Messiah, I assume. Now, I've got problems with that too, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But you had this by design, the fallen angels or whatever they are, mixing with the bloodline of humans, animals, and other creatures, maybe insects too, who knows, probably doing it in more of a scientific setting instead of sexually, you know what I mean? Instead of actually having sex with them, probably more of a scientific
DNA.
Setting where they were, mixing DNA and mitochondrial DNA and giving rise to this abomination that he destroyed. Now, after the destruction, you have a few hundred years, maybe a thousand years, who knows how long, before civilization arises again. And you see it arise at its earliest that we know of around Mesopotamia and Sumer. And about that time is where you see writings of the early Sumerian people talking about the Anunnaki and them coming down in their ships. You know, you've got Enki and Enlil and their sister and their father and blah, 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 saying that we're a slave race, that we were created from monkeys that they tinkered with in order to mine their gold for them that they needed. Basically just saying, you guys are no good, you're just a bunch of slaves, that's all you were created for. Well, that's part of the great deception and the lie. That's a freaking lie. It's part of the deception and lie that they're trying to perpetrate.
Oh yeah, most assuredly. That's sure.
So what you have,
so
apparently, because if you read in Enoch, he talks about he was an emissary and asked. He was actually asked by the Nephilim elite and possibly even fallen angels. I don't know. They're different. You have the fallen angels and then the Nephilim, which are like the mixed breed, right? Half breeds. And you have demons, which are like, they're dead, I assume.
Yeah.
Which is what you're.
Yeah, the fallen angels, were with the daughters of men, and they produced the Nephilim.
Right.
The Nephilim became the demons.
Right, Nephilim became the demons. But they meshed with all sorts of animals. I mean, I think it's where we get the Gorgon and the half horse, half man, half goat, you half man, the centaur and minotaur mythology come from actual experience.
Here's something.
Perhaps the mermaids and shit too, you know. You know, maybe these things existed at one time.
Think about this. Okay, there were only 200 fallen angels that
250.
On Mount Hermon.
250,
oh,
wasn't
250?
There?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was
200,
but...
I think it was like 220 or 250, but yeah, go ahead. I get your point. They were thrown out and crashed on apparently Mount Hermon or under Mount Hermon or were imprisoned under there.
But when you look at the number of demons, there's like millions of them.
Right, because of the Nephilim.
You know what I'm saying?
Dead Nephilim, dude. You've got all manner of Nephilim.
Yeah, they
I mean, you've got all manner. You've got quarter breeds. You've got them so diluted that some of them were partially animal, partially human, partially fallen angel. You know, this is not something that happened overnight. It literally took thousands of years. And imagine this, Alex. You've also got a highly technologically advanced civilization interacting with each other, a worldwide civilization who traveled the solar system and built... They built bases on the moon and Mars. And when Enoch was asked to go before God and, as an emissary for them and ask for forgiveness or whatever, and God denied it. In fact, he said... in fact, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. And Enoch told them this. That some of them had the technology to get the heck off of here and then return later. You see what I'm saying?
Now, do you think the Greys' actual appearance is their actual Nephilim's true appearance, or were they human-like?
Well, I think that here's I don't know. I'll tell you right now, I don't know. But here's what I believe it's another, in one of the other, it may be the Book of Maccabees, or it could be the Cave of Treasures. I think it's the Cave of Treasures. It's one of the Hebrew Kabbalah books, you know. It talks about actually stripped their likenesses from them. In other words, kind of like strip their likenesses. I mean, any discernible features like nose and mouth and skin and things like that were stripped from them. They were made all to look the same. Now, that's talking strictly about the fallen angels, though, not the Nephilim. So maybe they, but Zulu and other African mythologies say that those little grays are actually the reptilians' youth, that they're the adolescents. When they grow up, they get green and scaly or yellow and scaly. They run the gamut like a color like all reptiles do, you know, brown or green or, you know, some are striped,
and,
you know. Like.
And what would you picture a demonic entity to look like? A reptile, kind of, you know, like sneaky eyes and, you know, that scaly skin. And yeah.
Right. Well, we were picturing it that way because it talks about the Satan in the Garden of Eden as a reptile, a snake who actually had legs, whose legs were taken from him, you know. But there are many descriptions of demonic entities, not physically, but they describe them as stinking and smelly. They smell like death, sulfur, and that accompanies a lot of Bigfoot sightings. I've even heard of Bigfoot sightings. I've heard Bigfoot sightings. They say those things smell like death. They smell like sulfur and death, rotten eggs.
Well, if and rotten meat, and you know, you could picture them entities eating actual people.
Yeah. Well, I've heard, depends on the mythology, but going back to the Zulu, they don't actually eat the people. They like their blood and their glands. And I think some of their, who was it that said, what was the guy's name that got shot? He was a geologist that helped dig,
Phil Schneider.
Phil Schneider said that they also ate the glands and organs as a delicacy, along with the blood, I believe. But pretty much, that's all they took. And when you look at a lot of mutilations, cattle mutilations, what's gone? Blood, glands. You know, they're not taking the back strap or the hindquarters. So
they're taking anuses, too.
Anuses? Oh, they like the anally probe. They like the baloney parts, huh?
Yeah.
They're nasty bastards. They're nasty, whatever, you know, they're nasty motherfuckers. And we've been involved in some pretty hairy investigations and seen some things that are pretty out of the ordinary. Got some pictures of some of that stuff, you do. What I would describe as demonic activity. And, you know.
Oh, definitely.
They're not nice. Now, but, I've never encountered any shadow people, but I've had people tell me to have. And it can only be described to me as, I think it's a physical being using technology. Like, remember the movie Predator? How that thing could just become invisible?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Oh. Shadow people might not even be spiritual at all. They might be physical, actually there in the room with you in a physical manner using technology. Because these things had technology you read old writings from China, you read old Indian, Hopi Indians. We traveled to stars at one time, dude. Apparently we came from them.
I'm pretty, it's me.
Say again, Al.
Call out of it.
I can't hear you, bud.
Had a person and in back. No person's story. Can you hear?
No, you're like in and out real bad.
Okay, Al.
Hello?
But now.
Hello?
Hello. I'm here.
All right.
Yeah.
There you are. All right, there you are.
Okay.
Well, right, there you
cool.
were.
Advent time. Uh-oh, can you hear me now?
No, can't hear you. You cannot be heard.
Let me go ahead. I can
you walked past your signal.
Okay. I was out of my body one time in a dream. And I was flying and was looking down on the city and everything. And I got back to the house and I looked in the mirror and I was all black and looked like I had a hat on and a cape. It looked like a shadow person. And then I woke up.
Like shadow? Wow.
That's really,
so you looked shadowy.
Yeah.
No wonder what the cape represents.
That's a true story.
Though, because, well, I believe it. No wonder what the cape represents, though, because we see that in a lot of our fiction, especially with superheroes. I always thought it was just like a Trojan, Greece, because the Roman soldiers or even Roman soldiers would wear capes a lot of times, and it was just sort of a throwback to that. But I wonder if it's actually like reminiscent of some sort of technology or, you know, metaphorical for some sort of technology. Why does Superman need a cape? He doesn't really need it to fly,
and,
you know?
And, yeah, and to corroborate my story, when my grandma was alive, she was talking to somebody outside of her window one night, and I remember talking to her outside of her window. Believe that.
two strange things, yeah.
That was,
well,
the same,
you know,
night.
When we talk, here's a thought, Alex. This occurred to me a while back. It's been a while, a few years ago, and I've just never brought it up. How many millions of years do the dinosaurs have as far as evolution on us? They ain't been around for 65 million years, but they were around for 200 million years before that, right? Who's to say that within that 200 million years, that a faction did not develop intelligence and some sort of, you know, bilateral symmetry and become intelligent? And maybe that's what we call the reptilians, and that's why they're pissed off and jealous, because this is their planet. They were here first.
That's what they say. That is what they say in a lot of their mythologies.
Isn't that true, though? They do, that they're actually evolved dinosaurs. that they, hey, listen, anything could happen. But, you know, when you've got 265 million years of evolution on us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in dinosaurs, even before that, reptiles were around for 100 million years before dinosaurs. You know, they just weren't dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are, let's even take that out of the equation, because dinosaurs are a special kind of reptile. They got a wishbone. They're more bird-like, or they're bird-like in ways.
Yeah.
And reptilian-like. They're mammalian in ways, too. But these things are reptiles.
That's true.
So we're looking at, you know, a couple hundred million years of evolution and technology. I mean, Jesus Christ, think of the technology that could have evolved over that time.
What if,
they all retreated, maybe they all retreated underground because oxygen levels became too low and unsustainable for them here on Earth after whatever happened, the first great cataclysm that wiped out the dinosaurs, or that actually be the second. Second great extinction. There was the first one before that.
Yep, that's true.
The oxygen levels were much, much higher. Then that's how come things could get so big.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, just think about it, you know? I mean, the fallen angels are reptilian in nature. What does that tell you?
Well, maybe they're not angels after all. Maybe they are from here. What's this circadian rhythm? Is that what they call that, circadian rhythm? We're going to wrap this
up.
The circadian rhythm.
Yeah, the circadian rhythm is the rhythm of your body in tune to the planet's rhythm. And our circadian rhythm matches Mars. It doesn't match Earth. It matches Mars.
And we're the only creature on Earth that's not a match. Am I correct?
That's right. For Earth, yeah. That's correct.
Which is odd. And then in Zulu mythology, it is said that we came from another planet, not Mars necessarily, but it wouldn't have been called Mars then, but from a warlike planet that either we destroyed ourselves, or it was going something happened. And that we were actually saved by the creatures of this planet. They came and got us and brought us here.
Yes. That matches up with a lot of mythology and legend in the African culture, too.
Yeah, well, I call it Zulu mythology because I'm more familiar with that, but it's really all of it. Dogon, a lot of African mythology. But South African.
The Chitahuris?
Yeah, the Chitahuri. Yeah, the little reptilian bastards. Well, Alex, we're about done.
They're the ones that eat you.
10 seconds left.
Yeah,
Alex,
we are.
What would you like to say in passing?
Remember, I am the Nazi UFO commander, and I'll be flying above your house tonight to get you.
Mark his words. He'll do it, too. He's crazy like that. Well, for Madman 2012, I'd like to thank you all for not listening again. We'll not listen later when we have another show. I guess we're out of
Thanks
here, Lex Hotep.
Everybody.
Thanks for listening,
yep.
everybody.
Lex Hotep out.
Madman out.